नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय On behalf of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the founder acharya of our society, he who with one glance in this direction planted the seed of Sri Radha Gopinath Temple, I welcome all of you on this most auspicious occasion of the appearance of Sri Balaram. It was around the time of noon on this full moon day that Sri Balaramji appeared to Rohini Devi, the wife of Vasudev, in the most sanctified of all holy places, Sri Gokul Mahavan of Brajbhumi. In the spiritual world of Goloka, Radha and Krishna are eternally performing their pastimes of divine love in Madhurya Ras. Sri Balaramji, he is principal associate of Lord Krishna in the Sakya Ras, in the beautiful pastimes of loving friendship. Srila Prabhupada explains that Krishna and Balaram are the one supreme absolute truth. Balaram, like Krishna, possesses all opulences in full. In fact, it is from Balaram that Narayan, Karanodakshaya Vishnu, Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu are all expanding. Sri Balaram is eternally non-different than God, but for the purpose of the Lord's own divine pleasure, Krishna expands as Balaram, who is ever in the role of the servant of the Lord. Not only in the role of serving personally, but also organizing and inspiring all others to participate in the Lord's pastimes of devotional service. Therefore, he is Guru Tattva. Balaram Tattva is the source of Guru Tattva. He is the original spiritual master. The true duty of a spiritual master is to engage people in the service of Lord Krishna. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktyatvana niyashakya aham evam vidorajana. It is only by undivided devotional service that I could be understood as I am. Krishna does not require our powers, our influence, our wealth, our intelligence, our abilities. because he is providing all these resources to every living being. Krishna's Rasbihari, in this spiritual world, he only has one purpose, to enjoy pastimes of love with his devotees. So therefore he expands as Lord Balaram to engage all other living entities in the services of divine love. In the spiritual world, he is guru in that sense. The real guru does not teach you how to become God. The real guru teaches you how to serve God. Because through service only does love of God awaken in our heart. And guru teaches by example. We should be enthusiastic to serve 24 hours a day with whatever we have at all times, in all ways. And Balaram, his ecstatic service is all pervading. His enthusiasm to serve Krishna, his enthusiasm to provide facilities for others to serve Krishna. He expands himself to be the Dham of Goloka. In Vaikuntha, he is Anantashesha. He expands himself as Vaikunthas. And then he provides the clothes for the Lord. He becomes the clothes, the jewelry, the bed, the seat, the shoes. Such enthusiasm to serve. This is Sri Balaram. And he's always in that mood. When he appeared as Lakshman, the brother of Sri Ram, what was his... Although he's the Supreme Lord, Lakshman is the source of Mahavishnu, of Narayan. They are only plenary portions of Lakshman. But as Guru, he showed by his example and his own love. When Ram was banished to forest, Lakshman didn't say, "Well, I'm sorry it happened to you, my brother. I guess I'll see you in 14 years. Lakshman insisted, "Ram, I am at your side always. From my infancy, I have been serving you." And real devotional service is not only at good times. Sunshine devotees, fair weather Vaishnavas, at the time of crisis, their service will be disabled. A real devotee is a devotee with determination. Integrity means under any circumstance I uphold my ideals. It doesn't matter whether it's difficult or hard, whether it's safe or dangerous, whether it's pleasurable or painful, whether I live or die. This is integrity. I will uphold and preserve the ideals that I hold sacred in my life. And we're all tested. It's easy to just dance and chant when it makes us happy. And it should make us happy. But someday, you may find in your life that impediments come, where it's so much easier, safer, more pleasing to compromise. Actually, the good times are preparations for the hard times. We should really put our full heart, soul, everything into our Krishna consciousness when it's very pleasing. So that we have the strength, we have the deep connection to Krishna, that when the test comes, we will pass. Because tatenu kampam susumikshamano bunjana evatmikritam vipakam. We're qualified for liberation when we pass the difficult tests and we remain faithful, grateful, and pleased to serve. So Lakshman is Guru. He is Acharya. He's not only expressing his own ecstatic love for Ram, but he is showing what bhakti is about. I'm your servant, Ram. Now Sita was wife. Wife and husband are like one body by their vows. Theoretically. So when Ram was banished to forest, Sita, it is my vow, I must stand in good or bad, in life or death, or in happiness, distress, I must be at your side, my Lord. But Lakshman is brother. There's no vows amongst brothers. There's no ceremonies that brothers... If a husband leaves wife or wife leaves husband, it's a scandal. At least in previous ages it was. Kali Yuga, it's a scandal, but it's disguised as something very normal. But for brothers, how many brothers live together? Huh? But Lakshman, he's a devotee. It wasn't because he's Ram's brother. It was because of his love for Ram. I'm going with you through any difficulty. And Lakshman, he endured more difficulties than anyone. He was simply making Sita and Ram comfortable at all times. When they arrived in Chitrakoot, he was clearing the path in front of them. He was cutting the weeds and cutting the plants so that there would be a path for Ram and Sita to walk. He was moving aside the pebbles and the thorns. He didn't mind stepping on them himself, but not a single pebble should hurt the feet of Ram or Sita. 24 hours a day serving. When they arrived at the Chitrakoot mountain, it was Lakshman. Sita and Ram were just enjoying the scenery. And Lakshman was chopping down trees and getting branches and making a house for them out of a nice hut. He was bringing water for them, collecting fruits and herbs for them, making bed for them. And when they would sleep, he didn't sleep. He stood outside the door and guarded all night, 24 hours a day serving. And in the entire Ramayana, we never hear Lakshman asking for anything except service. Even in most difficult situations. And he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, teaching all living entities in the material and spiritual worlds what love is about. Selfless service. And when Ram told Lakshman, banish Sita, that was the most difficult test. First, near Rameshwaram, Ram told Lakshman, make a funeral pyre. Sita should enter fire. Let us test her chastity. He had to do it. banisher to Valmiki Muni's ashram. Lakshman was obedient servant. But these services of what he had to do as far as showing the glory of Sita's love were so painful to his heart that he decided, as your younger brother, I have to obey. But next incarnations, I will be your older brother. So he became Balaram and then Nityananda Prabhu. But actually we find in Balaram and Nityananda Prabhu that same spirit of 24-hour-a-day constant servitude. As guru, to teach us by example a complete absorption in devotional service. And also to accommodate, facilitate, encourage services for all others. Sri Balaram himself engages in all the five principal rasas with Krishna. Sometimes he's Krishna's servant, collecting wood for Krishna, decorating Krishna, bathing Krishna. Sometimes he's Krishna's friend, as an equal, playing flutes with Krishna, dancing with Krishna, herding cows with Krishna. As an older brother, sometimes he's protecting Krishna in Vatsalya Ras, like a parent. And to serve Krishna and Radharani in their Madhurya Leelas, Sri Balaramji expands himself as Ananga Manjari, who is Srimati Radharani's own little sister. She has a beautiful abode in the heart of Radha Kund, where she makes so many intimate arrangements for Radha and Krishna's loving affairs. That is Balaram. This is Guru Tattva. Always eager to serve, always eager to engage everyone in service. So when Sri Balaramji appeared in Gokul Mahavan on this full moon day, it's the son of Rohini, under the protection of Nanda and Yashoda. Soon after, Lord Krishna appeared, and they were constant associates. They would crawl, and as soon as they were able to walk, they immediately began their pastimes of stealing the butter. And Balaramji was always there, making all facilities and arrangements for Krishna's happiness. And as they grew older, and they took the role of cowherd boys, they performed unlimited pastimes. I'd like to speak a few stories today and share with you what Balaram, the original guru, is teaching us through these beautiful pastimes. Because hearing the pastimes of the Lord, it purifies our heart, it pleases Krishna, because it awakens our love and attraction for Krishna. But the holy scriptures and our acharyas also teach through many of these pastimes essential lessons that we must learn in order to progress on the path of real pure bhakti. So one day in Sri Vrindavan Dham, The summer season was just beginning. Now, for those of you who have been in Vrindavan, summer season, it's very hot. It's much more hot than Bombay. And there is no ocean breeze either. But when Krishna and Balaram were in Vrindavan, it was fresh and sweet as transcendental spring. Because by Balaram's potency, the whole dham is engaged in Krishna's service. The Yamuna, beautiful waves, and she was overflowing the banks to make the ground very wet and fresh. And then she would arrange nice breezes to carry that moisture in small particles, like a mist, to keep everyone perfectly cool. And the clouds in the service of Krishna would, wherever Krishna would go, they would make a nice little shade from the sun. And the trees would bend in the direction of Krishna Balaram and their cowherd boys when they would be out in the day to give them nice refreshing shade. And all the flowers of all the seasons would be blossoming. Waterfalls would be making sweet sounds. It was a pleasurable abode. Krishna Balaram and cowherd boys in the pastures of Vrindavan would play so many games simply to satisfy each other. Every devotee's only desire is to please Krishna. And Krishna's only desire is to please his devotees. Knowing that Krishna's only desire is to please the devotee's only desire is to please each other. That is bhakti. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati taught us that to be a devotee of Krishna is not real devotion. Because Krishna is most pleased when we serve his devotees. Just yesterday, Gauranga Prabhu gave class and he quoted Lord Chaitanya from the Adi Purana. Lord Chaitanya was citing this verse that those who are really my devotees, they know that what pleases me the best is serving and pleasing my devotees. And in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Narayan speaks this truth to Durvasa Muni. The sadhus, my devotees, they are my heart and soul. They have given their heart to me, therefore I have given my heart to them. They know no one but me, therefore I know no one but them. If they are satisfied, I am satisfied. If they are not satisfied, there is no possibility of me being satisfied. Kapila Dev also explains that you can perform yajnas and offer ghee to the fire, but much more I'm satisfied when you offer nice preparations made in ghee to the mouth of my devotees. I will taste it through their satisfaction. So Krishna Balaram and all their friends, they would decorate each other with minerals. They would make mineral colors on their bodies. They'd be decorating each other so nicely. They would put leaves on each other and peacock feathers and fruits. And they would sing and play. Krishna would sing so nicely. And all the cowherd boys would just be gathering around Krishna and clapping their hands and playing instruments as he would sing. And they would ask him to dance. And oh, how Krishna would dance. Simply to please his friends, his devotees. And other times Krishna and Balaram, they would play instruments and their friends would sing and dance. They didn't need stereos, hi-fis, televisions. These things don't give your soul any pleasure. They just distract you. It's an illusion. This is real entertainment. Real entertainment is reciprocation of love. That's all the soul needs. Everything else in our modern society is just to somehow or other, you know, bear with the boredom of life and the anxieties of not having that love. We need all this other stuff. Huh? If you have that love, you don't need any of this stuff. Just looking at the deities and chanting japa, you'll be in ecstasy forever. Huh? That's all. You don't need computers and televisions and stereos. You don't have to go to the Bollywood films. You don't have to go to restaurants. You don't have to go to cricket matches. That has nothing to do with love. It's just mental, sensual agitations. But Krishna, Balaram, and cowherd boys, they were in ecstasy, just laughing together. They would take fruits, like the amalaki fruit, and throw it in the air. Then they would take other fruits and throw it at that fruit and see who could hit that fruit. And oh, how they enjoyed. If someone hit the fruit, they would clap and they would laugh. In bliss, all encouraging one another. Sometimes they would hold each other's eyes and ask, guess who I am? And then you'd have to guess. And if you guess, you win. If you guess correctly. Huh? All these childlike games. Krishna and Balaram were expert in every possible game to play. They are the source of all games. That propensity to play is only in the living entity because it originates in Krishna and Balaram, who we are parts and parcels of. And sometimes they would imitate the animals. They would jump like the frogs or spread their arms following the shadows of the birds. In this way, Krishna, Balaram, and the gopas would travel with their little cows through the hills and the valleys, along the lakes and the rivers of Vrindavan. But one day, a very vicious, envious asura, who wanted to kidnap Krishna Balaram and cause harm to them. He made a scheme. An enemy is very powerful when undetected. Yes. In warfare, if you have an enemy who you trust and he's on your side, in your ranks, he's getting all the information and he's sending it to the other side. It's very dangerous. And what he could do from inside. Today, terrorism. If you don't recognize a terrorist, that person is very dangerous. If you recognize them, they could be stopped. Yes? Well, Pralambasura was one of the original terrorists. He disguised himself. He didn't have to go through metal detectors or anything like that. He didn't need metal. He had his own powers. Pralambasura, he did his research. Just like terrorists do their research. He found out that one particular cowherd boy had to stay home that day and perform his duties. So Pralambasura, he perfectly disguised himself to look exactly like that gopa. And he came into the pasture grounds and acted just like the gopa, looked just like the gopa, spoke just like the gopa. He was well trained as a mystic. And Krishna Balaram welcomed him. Oh, how nice, our friend. But Krishna understood. He has come to kill us. So Krishna played along. Krishna will play along with your maya. Don't think you're ever fooling him. You may think that you can get away with some nonsense things, but you're not getting away with anything. You could think, look, I'm doing, but still I'm a devotee. My Kanti Mala hasn't fallen off. My Sika hasn't fallen off. I'm still a devotee. According to your desire, Krishna may allow you to just execute your folly. But in due course of time, the reaction must come. So Krishna Balaram had their scheme. Let's play a game. Krishna just shouted to all the cowherd boys, let's play a game now. We'll divide in two sides, and the winner will carry the loser will carry the winner on your shoulders. So there was an election. Who would be the captains of the two teams? And of course, the gopas, they selected their two most beloved heroes, Krishna and Balaram. And Pralambasura was a little afraid of Krishna, so he took Krishna's side. And Balaram's side won. Sridhama was carried on Krishna's shoulders, and Pralambasura carried Balaram. But he was just a very sweet, beautiful little cowherd boy. And they went to the Bandiravat, a beautiful banyan tree near the bank of Yamuna. There, they were getting on each other's shoulders. And you were only supposed to take him to a certain spot. Pralambasura took to that spot and he just kept going and kept going and kept going. And Balaramji began to think, where is my little friend taking me? He was going deeper and deeper and deeper into the forest. Balaram understood that this is a demon in disguise of my friend who wants to kill me. So although Balaram was just a little cowherd boy, he stayed the same size. He assumed the weight of Mount Sumeru. Now, this little Pralamba, Gopa, he was not just an ordinary person. How many of us could carry Mount Sumeru? He assumed his original form, gigantic, mountainous form, with fiery copper eyes, fiery copper hair, large pointed teeth. He had a massive mountainous body that had golden decorations with jewels. And he started flying in the sky with Balaram. With his jewels, he looked like a dark cloud with lightning carrying the full moon. And Balaramji, he understood the time has come. He closed his fist, and with one blow, he crushed the head of Pralambasura, broke open, and Pralambasura fell to the ground, dead. Now, all the cowherd boys were just laughing and clapping. Well done, Balaram, well done. For them, this demon killing was a daily, it was like a daily program. But there were no reruns. Every day, new demons were coming and killed in new fashionable ways, and it was so beautiful, so sweet, so exciting. Especially little boys, they like these chivalrous types of episodes. And the demigod showered flowers. The boys embraced Balaram as if he had just come back from the dead. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that Pralambasura represents a particular demon that is within the heart of every conditioned soul. An anartha, an unwanted quality that devotees must somehow or other overcome. But each one of these anarthas are so powerful, like Pralamba, that we have no power against them. It's only by the mercy of Guru, Krishna, and the Vaishnavas that we can possibly overcome them. Pralamba represents lusty inclinations and desire for personal gain or honor. In other words, gross and subtle sex life. Gross life is the lust, gross sex attraction is the lust of the mind's connection to the senses. And subtle sex life is that desire for profit, adoration, and honor, distinction. They are demons within the heart, who, like Pralambasura, are trying to kill our inclination to love and serve Krishna, who are trying to take Krishna and Balaram away from us. That is their purpose. But we see how in this age of Kali, how people think that these inclinations are their friends. And they put trust in them. People put faith in their lusty inclinations, thinking that this will bring me happiness. This will bring me progressive elevation in my pursuits in life. But actually, an enemy never wants you to be happy. An enemy wants you to suffer. An enemy doesn't want you to succeed. An enemy wants you to fail. Yes? But these enemies, the worst enemies, they disguise as friends. Why? So that they could completely capture your entire attention And the more your consciousness is fixed on these lusty inclinations, the more they could take Krishna away and cause havoc and pain in your life. Now, these disguised enemies that are within all of us, inducing us to do so many irreligious activities, those things unfavorable for devotional service, to want them, to speak them, to do them, they're very difficult to overcome. Yatato hyapi kaunteya purushasya vipashchita indriyanam hi charitam yanmano na vidyate. Krishna says the senses are so strong and impetuous, Arjuna, that they can forcibly carry away even the mind of a man of intelligence who's trying to control them. It's very difficult. But we must fix our mind on Krishna. And how do we fix our mind on Krishna? By fixing our mind on his instruction. Now Bhaktivinoda Thakur says certain demons, just by taking shelter of Krishna and his holy name, will eliminate them. But those particular asuras of Vrindavan that Balaramji delivered, they represent those anartas in our heart that we must have the grace, the blessings, the strength that is coming from the spiritual master. In order to overcome lusty inclinations and desire for personal gain or honor, yasya prasada bhagavat prasado yasya prasada nakati kutopi. We need Balaram's help, which is coming through parampara. By taking the words of the gurus as our life and soul. Today devotees took vows of initiation. By honoring those vows, by making that sincere effort, Krishna, or God, helps those who help themselves. Krishna tells in Gita that for those who make that sincere endeavor to surrender to me, I will preserve whatever little you have, and I will carry what you lack. And how does he carry? Through the words of the spiritual master, through the parampara. We must have that faith, and we must have that fidelity. And then, yes, the demon Pralamba within us will be exposed and will not be an obstacle. That lust will be transformed by the mercy of Guru and the Vaishnavas. By the mercy of Lord Balaram, that lust will be transformed into prema or love. So with the few minutes we have, I'd like to speak some other good lessons that Balaram has taught us. When he was living in Dwarka, there was a particular asura. His name was Dvivida. Dvivida was a gorilla, and he was very powerful. After Krishna killed Narakasura, Dvivida was outraged because he was Narakasura's best friend. He wanted revenge. Krishna killed my friend. He was going to create havoc. Now, for those of you who know Ramayana, Dvivida and his brother Mainda were high-ranking ministers of Sugriva. And they fought valiantly along with Hanuman against Ravana to bring Sita back to Ram. They are two great heroes of Ramayana. They were amongst the monkey soldiers, powerful warriors, making major decisions in the battle. How is it that Vivida, that same personality, is now the enemy of Krishna? And he became like a terrorist, causing misery to innocent people. This is a very important lesson. Because Vivida in Ram's army was so powerful, he was so highly respected due to his power and his influence, he became proud. In the Christian scripture it says, pride cometh before the fall. That is not a theory. That is a fact. Because of his pride, he disrespected Lakshman and other devotees. Lakshman represents Guru. The other devotees are Vaishnavas. Due to his false pride, he committed Guru Aparad and Vaishnava Aparad. Lakshman and his Leela. You know, when he was fighting with Ravana, he was hit by javelin and he was unconscious. It appeared he was dead. It appeared he was fallible. Hanumanji had to bring the mountain from far away with Sanjeevani to bring Lakshman back to his life. Somehow or other, due to false pride of being such a highly powerful and honored soldier, Vivida considered Lakshman to be ordinary and disrespected him. What happens at that time? Sridhar Swami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they explain that when due to false pride you disrespect exalted Vaishnavas, you become attracted to bad association. And that bad association corrupts and destroys your devotion. Here is Vivida, a man who risked and endured so much hardships in the service of Ram. Due to becoming friends with Narakasura, he was utterly polluted. Just to show the danger of false pride and disrespecting Guru and Vaishnavas. And how did he manifest his anger, his pride? He was going to cities, towns, villages, agricultural fields, the places where cows were protected. And he was lighting them all on fire, burning them down. He was going to the places where the Brahmins and the Rishis were performing yajnas, and he was tearing all the trees of the forest down. Then he would put out the yajna, and then just to do a little extra, he would pass urine and stool all over the area to make it polluted. He would take innocent men and women by the thousands and shove them in caves and then take gigantic stones and put them in front of the cave so that they were trapped, just like a wasp traps innocent little insects. But that wasn't enough. He had such powerful arms that he would go to the ocean and just start swirling his arms in the ocean. And all the shores of the ocean, they were like tsunami waves. Literally. Completely flood. Worse than tsunami waves. Because tsunami wave, it just whoop and whoop. It just comes in and goes out, right? But this would come in and just stay. He was drowning all the shorelines of the ocean, submerging them in massive, massive quantities of water. And one day, when he was just destroying everything, he happened to hear sweet singing and music coming from the Raivataka mountain. So he went there. And there he saw Lord Balaram dancing and singing with his consorts. Now, because it was such a nice evening and Balaram was having such a pleasant experience with his consorts, Varuni, the daughter of Varuna, manifested herself as a beverage called Varuni, which is very nectarine. It's like honey that flows from the hollow of trees, but it's intoxicating, but nothing like the intoxications of this world. It's difficult to explain what type of intoxication. It's not against the regulative principles. It brings you closer to Krishna. It doesn't take you away from Krishna. So Balaramji was drinking and sharing it with his consorts, and they were rolling their eyes and singing and dancing, and they were having such nice time. And Vivida appeared. He started jumping on the trees and making a loud sigh, "Kila, kila, kila, kila," just to demand everyone's complete attention. When this massive gorilla is jumping on a tree, screaming out, "Kila, kila," everything else stopped. He just looked at him. And just to harass them, he started moving his eyebrows and showing his teeth and doing all kinds of very crazy things, crossing his eyes. And the ladies, being very innocent, they started laughing. But then Vivida turned his backside and showed the private part of his body right in front of their faces. In front of Balaram. Just to insult Balaramji. And then he turned around and started pulling the consorts of Balaram's clothes. And was doing all nasty things. So Balaramji picked up a stone and threw it at Vivida. Let him go. And it hit him on the head. And his head cracked. And some blood came out. But Vivida was so proud that it didn't even faze him. He accepted it like a decoration, like a mountain with some red oxide flowing from it. And Balaramji picked up his plow and his club. Vivida picked up a massive shal tree, uprooted it, and then with the power of his hands, this is a gigantic tree, he just... and just trimmed off all the leaves and branches, so it was like a huge club. He did it in a second. He attacked Balaramji, and with all of his power, banged it on his head. Balaramji just stood there, unfazed like a mountain. And after the big tree fell from his head, Balaram just threw it aside. The vidya was even more angry. He picked up another shal tree. And every time he came, Balaram with his club just smashed the tree to pieces. Until every tree in the forest was gone. Then he started picking up gigantic rocks and throwing it at Balaram. And he was hitting them with his club. Until every rock in the entire forest was pulverized into powder. But this is the origin of cricket. And for those of you from the West, it's the origin of baseball also. Hitting balls with clubs. Yes? Bats. Vivida was so angry. He just came with his mighty fists. Each of Vivida's arms was as big as a gigantic palm tree. And his fists were huge. These are the hands that just by swirling in the ocean could cause tsunami waves and floods. With all of his power, he was beating Balaram in the chest again and again and again. Sri Balaramji just stood there and understanding that he has caused so much pain and suffering to so many people, I must end his life. So with one crashing blow of Balaram to the collarbone of Vivida, he vomited, passed stool and urine, and fell to the ground dead. Sri Balaramji ki jai. And the demigods, they were showering flowers and saying, excellent, excellent. So this story is very illustrative. How Balaramji cannot tolerate false pride. And what false pride develops into progressively. False pride develops a mentality where you disrespect others. And then you become attracted to unwanted association. And all your devotional service becomes degraded. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead used such an exalted personality as Dvivida as an example to teach the world this lesson. Soon after that, Samba, the son of Jambavati and Krishna, he took a trip to Hastinapur because he wanted to marry Lakshmana. She was having her Swayamvara, where all great kings and princes and heroes could show their might before the queen, before the princess, and she could select whoever she wants. But Samba understood she was not inclined to him, so he just went right into the Swayamvara and kidnapped her. Hare Krishna. Now the Kurus were very upset. They were thinking, because he's already touched her, that means Lakshmana, the daughter of Duryodhana, cannot marry anyone else. She has to marry Samba. But just to show the integrity of our Kuru dynasty, we cannot allow him to get away without unpunished. We must punish him. So they attacked. 6 Maharati, great warriors, against one. And Samba, he fought valiantly. But ultimately, because he was so outnumbered by Karna and such people like this, that they broke his chariot, they broke his club, his arrows, and they kidnapped him. They would not harm him, but they kidnapped him and held him as a prisoner. Narada Muni reported the events in Dwarka. Ugrasena and the whole Yadu dynasty, immediately, within seconds, they had their armor on. They were about to get on their chariots and declare war against the Kuru dynasty. This was an insult to the son of Krishna. But Balaram had a very loving, affectionate relation with Duryodhana. And he did not want to, and he also, of course, he had the deepest loving relationship with the Yadus. So here's the Yadus and the Kurus who he loved dearly. That personality who comes in Kali Yuga is Nityananda to bring harmony to all opposing parties. He wanted to create harmony. He said, please, just be patient. They honor me, they respect me, I will resolve it. So he went on a mission of mediation. Yes? But for those of you who like to mediate, please listen to this story carefully. Even Balaram is not always successful. Even Krishna, he mediated between Yudhisthira and Duryodhana. He was unsuccessful. How is this? This is a very important principle. Because the Lord never interferes with the free will of a living entity. He will give all opportunities. He will give all instructions. He will even create environments to show our folly. But ultimately, he doesn't take away our free will. Duryodhana is the example. And he's living in all of us. Duryodhana represents that stubbornness within our hearts of wanting to misuse our free will, even though we know exactly what Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, wants and knows. So Balaramji went to Hastinapur. He took a whole entourage of Brahmins, ministers, and Uddhava. He waited outside of Hastinapur in a garden and sent Uddhav in to tell that Balaram has come. So when Bhishma, the son of Ambika, Dhritarashtra, Drona, Duryodhana, Karna, when they saw Uddhav, they were in bliss. They loved Uddhava. And when they heard that Balaram was there, they were so happy. They honored Uddhava and they gave him all kinds of services and worship ceremonies. And then they brought their paraphernalia and ran to the garden outside the city to worship Lord Balaram. And they were really, from their hearts, they were so happy to see Balaram, to serve Balaram, to honor Balaram. They knew what an exalted position he was in, and they knew he was such a dear, loving well-wisher of each and every one of them. And after all the worship, they exchanged very affectionate talk by inquiring about all their relatives on both sides. And when all the sweet, friendly formalities were completed, Balaramji gave his message. The king Yudhisthira knows that you have kidnapped Sambha by unfair means. But because of our marital ties between the two dynasties, he's willing to forgive you. In other words, give Sambha back. And everything's all right. That's all. He'll forgive you. You did wrong. You made a mistake. But you're forgiven. Just give Sambha and his wife back. So gracious was Balaram. He was speaking it for their benefit. Otherwise they would have been destroyed. He was their well-wisher. He was their friend. He was their lover. But Srimad Bhagavatam says the Kurus were proud. They're proud of their wealth, proud of their power, proud of their high birth. And due to that pride, they could not tolerate good advice, even from their dearest friend. They were outraged. What do we hear today? We see that the lowly, dirty shoes meant for the feet want to crawl up and take the place of the crown by being on top of the head. We see that insignificant jackals want to take away the booty of a lion. Whatever the Yadus have is only by the grace of the Kurus. You have a throne to sit on only because we tolerate it and we allow you to do it. We should have destroyed all of you before for using our royal paraphernalia like the Yak fans. But because of our affection to you, because of our mercy, we have allowed you, tolerated you doing it. But now, you who are depending on our gracious kindness and tolerance, you are demanding something from us? Impossible. And after saying these words of harsh criticism, they just huffed, turned their backs, and walked back into the city. Balaramji remained totally silent. As they were speaking, he didn't say anything, but his eyes were getting redder and redder. After they went back into the city in a huff, Balaramji spoke to some of the ordinary citizens who were gathered around him. Just see how pride has destroyed their good intelligence. And now they're disrespecting me, who has come to save them, their world's greatest well-wisher, who has taught Duryodhana how to fight with club, who's always been their supporter. They're disrespecting me. And what are they saying about Yadus? Even the demigods like Shiva and Brahma come to pay their homages to King Ugrasena. And Krishna. Krishna is worshipped by the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. He is worshipped by Shiva, by Brahma, by all the demigods. He's the supreme absolute truth, the controller of all controllers. And they are saying Krishna is not fit to sit on their throne? That Krishna is offensive for using their paraphernalia? Because of their false pride, today I will punish them. They have disrespected the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees. He laughed very loud. It wasn't a humorous laugh. It was the laugh of wrath. That today I will drag Hastinapur and all of its residents, the entire Kuru dynasty, and destroy them all by casting him into the river Ganges. He ordered the Ganges to swell unlimitedly, to become so huge and so powerful that the entire city of Hastinapur could be cast within her waves and destroyed within a minute. Then with the tip of his plow, he separated Hastinapur from the rest of the earth and dragged it. All these great Kuru warriors, they felt the entire city moving. This was not just an earthquake. This is something much more. The entire city was like a boat on a sea in a massive storm. Everything was moving. Everything was falling. And they came to the conclusion, Balaram is angry. They made a big mistake. They all came running. Duryodhana, Bhishma, Karna, Dhritarashtra, they all came running to whatever extent they had, and they had Samba and Lakshmana in front. And they prayed, Balaramji, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are all powerful. We know that you never become angry. You're always in the mode of goodness. This is not anger. It is actually only your mercy. Because of our false pride, because of our attachment to our opulences, our wealth, our power, our high birth, we have offended others. And you are showing this unbelievable demonstration of strength just to sober us out of our intoxicated state and rectify our faults. We're rectified. We surrender to you. Here is Lakshmana. And here is Samba. And then Duryodhana said, I will give such a nice dowry to my daughter and to Samba and bring it back to Krishna and go back to Dwarka and be happy. And Samba was very happy. And Balaramji was pacified. He put Hastinapur back in its place and returned. Another example. Balaram, the original guru, how he knows what an impediment false pride is. What an impediment aparads to respectable persons are. And he wanted to show the extent of what he was willing to do to rectify that. And I'll tell one more story with the same moral. Because of Balaram's love for both the Kurus and the Pandavas, when they decided to have their war, Balaram was thinking that I love Yudhisthira so much, but I also love Duryodhana so much. Duryodhana is going to canvass me to be on his side, and Yudhisthira is going to try to canvass me to be on his side. And he didn't want to take sides. But in a situation like that, how do you remain neutral? A war's going on. If you just remain neutral, you're interpreted to be against both sides. Yes? How many of you have been in that situation where two people are having conflict? Sometimes I go to New Vrindavan, so I have that experience of quite a bit. And everybody's trying to canvass you to be on their side. And because you have loving, friendly relationships with both, it's very difficult. So what Balaram did, and he's an acharya, he's the original guru, he escaped the whole situation. He left before anybody could ask him to be on their sides. And he went on pilgrimage. This is one of the reasons we go on yatras, actually. To get away from all these things. So he just, before anyone could approach him to canvass his support, he just disappeared and went on pilgrimage. Now, while he was on pilgrimage, he went to so many holy places. He followed along the banks of the Yamuna and Ganga. And ultimately, he came to Naimisharanya. There, so many great Brahmins and sages were assembled. When he entered into the arena, all of them stood up with folded hands to greet him. They were bowing down, offering worship to him, offering gifts to him. Everyone except the leader amongst them. His name was Romaharshan Sutta. Romaharshan Sutta is directly disciple, trained by Vyasadeva, the literary incarnation of Krishna. Romaharshan was sitting on the Vyasasan. He was speaking the scriptures in perfect Sanskrit to all these Brahmins and sages. Now, these were great, powerful scholars. But they all accepted Rama Harshan was more learned and senior to all of them due to his position as being a disciple of Vyas and what he had assimilated. So while sitting on Vyasasan, with all these sages sitting at his feet, he did not consider it appropriate for him to stand up to offer honor to anyone. Now that may sound like a small offense, but Balaramji was not just teaching Rama Harshan a lesson. Balaramji, as the original guru, as the supreme personality of Godhead who descends to establish real principles of religion, he wanted to show an example for all time to come. When the Lord gets angry, it's not like our anger. The Lord's anger is out of love and compassion, always for the welfare of everyone. Balaramji spoke these words. Because this fool from an improperly mixed marriage sits above all these Brahmins, and even above me, the protector of religion, he deserves to die. Although he is a disciple of the divine sage, Vyas, and has thoroughly learned many scriptures from him, including the law books of religious duties and the epic scriptures and Puranas, all this study has not produced good qualities in him. Rather, his study of the scriptures is like an actor studying his part, for he is not self-controlled, he is not humble, and vainly presumes himself a scholarly authority, though he has failed to conquer his own mind. Balaramji is here establishing that false pride can only happen to one who has failed to conquer his mind. You may be a sannyasi, you may be a brahmachari, you may be a staunch grihastha, you may be whatever you do. You may be a yogi in the forest who only eats and drinks air and lives to 500 years old without gray hairs. But if you have pride, you have not controlled your mind, which is the sixth and most powerful of all the senses. Balaramji is saying, if you have false pride, if you're not humble, even though you're a great scholar of scriptures, even you're a disciple of Vyasadeva, even though you're getting the adoration and the recognition and honor of so many great rishis, if you do not have good character, which means respectful, respect toward others and humility. If you do not have good character, it is all useless. It is all in vain. Srila Prabhupada said like this in one beautiful discussion with a professor, with a PhD candidate. He said, what is the use of speaking high philosophy without good character? And we read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, such powerful philosophers as Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, such powerful philosophers as Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. But in their lives, we see that it is always integrated with perfect character. And in this regard, perfect character, it is being emphasized the points of being humble and offering respect to others. Balaram continues, the very purpose of my descent into this world is to kill such hypocrites who pretend to be religious. Indeed, they are the most sinful rascals. Now, Rama Harshan Sutta was following the four regulative principles. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. All day long he was studying Vedas, serving his guru, Vyasadeva, associating with all these sadhus. He wasn't going to the movies. He wasn't getting intoxicated. He wasn't looking at other ladies. If Rama Harshan Sutta was living in Bombay, he would be considered the most pious moral man in the whole city. Yes? Millions of people would be going to hear his lectures. Can you imagine Rama Harshan Sutta giving katas on the Upanishads in Bombay? He would be on every satellite TV. But Balaram is calling him a sinful rascal and a hypocrite simply because he's proud. He's proud of his scholarship. He's proud of his connection to his guru. And that pride is causing him to be insensitive toward respecting others. While we're on the subject, Radhakund, where are you? Is he here? Okay. He should sit here. But this was Balaram's message to the world. And with these words, he picked up a single blade of kusha grass and touched the tip of that piece of grass to Rama Harshan Sutta's body. And that was enough to end his life. Rama Harshan was dead. The sages and Brahmins, they were shocked at what they just saw. I mean, what did he do? All he did is not stand up. And he got capital punishment for just not standing up. But it's a very, very important lesson. Balaram wanted us to learn this. Trinadapi suniche na taror iba sehishnana. Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. If you want to please Krishna, be humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like a tree. Offer all respect to others and do not expect respect for each other, for oneself. Always chant the names of the Lord. Balaram was very, very strongly emphasizing this verse. The sages, they cried out to Balaram that we just gave the benediction to Rama Harshan before his class that he would have a long, healthy life. And you just canceled out our whole benediction to him. Now, you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are fully independent. You can do anything you like, anytime you like. So there's no fault in you. But because you come to this world to establish pure religious principles, please show the world by your example how great you are, if you make a mistake on a relative plane, that you're willing to atone for it. You don't have to atone because you're perfect. But if you atone for this offense, it will show the example for all others what they must do. So Balaram accepted. I will do whatever you say. With my power, if you like, I'll bring Rama Harshan Sutta back to life and give him give the benediction back to him. They said, no, no, you've already done. But he has a son, and the father lives through the son, Ugrashrava. Transfer the blessing we gave to Rama Harshan to his son. And he became, that son became Sutta Goswami, the second speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam to the sages of Naimasharanya. And Balaram wanted to do some more atonement. They said, there is a demon named Balvala who's coming and harassing us whenever we try to do proper religious activities and yajnas. So Balaram waited for Balvala and took his plow and liberated him. Just to show that even he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He honored and respected the Brahmins, the Vaishnavas, the sages, and atoned for a mistake he never really even did. That is Lord Balaram's lesson to the world. His own prideless willingness to reciprocate with the will of his devotees is a great lesson for all of us, and especially how he would not tolerate the corruption of false pride in the heart of his devotees, or in the heart of the Kurus, of his devotee Vivida, or even the disciple of Vyasadeva. It is interesting how story after story after story in the holy scriptures, the Vaishnava scriptures especially, teach us the danger of false pride. Again and again. You may hear us emphasizing it. But the reason we emphasize it is that's what all the scriptures are emphasizing. That's what the Supreme Lord and the Acharyas are emphasizing. Because it spoils everything. When there's false pride, there's disrespect for others. When there's disrespect for others, there's offenses. When there's offenses, there's disunity. Vaishnav community becomes fighting amongst one another for their own agendas, for their own personal interests. Prahlad Basura represented this desire for one's own personal gain or prestige. It's all the same principle. We have to fight against this demon in our own hearts by taking shelter of Sri Balaramji and his representatives, the spiritual masters, the parampara and the Vaishnavas. And under that guidance, we must humbly serve Vaishnavas. We must respect all living beings. And we must take shelter of the chanting of the holy names. And that Balaramji, he appears in the Kali Yuga as the son of Padmavati and Hadai Pandit. In the village of Ekachakra, as Lord Nityananda. Brajendra Nandana je sachi shuta hoilo se, Balarama hoilo nithai. Krishna descends as the son of Sachi. And Balaramji has come as Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And again, as the supreme manifestation of Guru Tattva, to teach us by his example and by his words, he has accepted the most humble position. We have seen the power of Balaram, but in the role of Nityananda Prabhu, he's going to demons. Not with his club and plow, but with the holy name to purify their hearts. He's going to even sinful people and falling at their feet and begging them to take the holy names. And if they're proud like Romaharshan Sutta, he'll pick up a piece of grass, but he'll put it between his teeth with all humility and tears of compassion and beg them, please take the name of Krishna. Take the name of Lord Chaitanya and you will be my life and soul. Nityananda Prabhu, like Lakshmana, like Balaramji, the self-same personality, although he is the supreme absolute truth with all opulences, his life, his soul, his everything was to serve Lord Chaitanya, to carry out the order of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya told him, go to every person you meet, house to house, village to village, shop to shop, and give them this message. Chant the name of Krishna. Worship Krishna. Speak about Krishna. Always remember Krishna. Krishna's your mother. Krishna's your father. Krishna's your real wealth. Krishna's your very life and soul. Take the name of Krishna. Nityananda Prabhu made that order his life and soul. He went out as a beggar. The supreme truth, the husband of the goddess of fortune, becomes a beggar. But he's not begging to take anything from you. He's begging you to take the highest wealth from him. What kind of beggar is that? When you're riding in the streets of Bombay and the beggars knock on your door, wouldn't it be surprise if one of them just says, I beg you, please take this 1 crore of rupees. Please take this 24 karat diamond ring. Please, please, I beg you, take it. Take this bakshish, take this. Did you ever meet a beggar like that? That was Lord Nityananda Prabhu. He was begging. If he was in Bombay today, he'd be knocking on the windows. To every car that passed by, begging, please take Krishna Nam, please take Krishna Prem. Such a humble role. Begging to give us Krishna. Begging to give us happiness, eternal happiness. Why? Because that's what makes Lord Chaitanya happy. Lord Chaitanya came to this world to give the highest ecstasies of Braj Ras, love of God, in the mood of the gopas and gopis of Vrindavan, through the chanting of the holy names. So Nityananda Prabhu made his life and soul to please Lord Chaitanya by giving this mercy. And that is what preaching is about. Preaching is about being a beggar. Beggars should not be proud. Beggars should be very humble. But we're not begging to take anything from anyone. We're begging to give. To give Krishna. To give love of God. And why are we willing to take positions of beggars in this way? Because it pleases Krishna. Nityananda Prabhu was engaging everyone in the Nam Sankirtan movement. Nityananda Prabhu was engaging everyone in glorifying Lord Chaitanya and Radha and Krishna. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, being the divinely empowered, beloved servant of Lord Nityananda, has traveled the whole world as the ambassador of that compassion. He has connected us to Lord Balaram, Lord Nityananda, eternally. So let us pray on this auspicious day to Sri Balaram, Nityananda, that with the plow and the club of his divine hand, he may destroy the demons of pride, lust, anger, greed, envy, and illusion that is within our hearts. Because these are factually the only impediments between us and God. Yes, let us pray to Balaram to rescue us from these demons within. And let us pray to Lord Balaram Nityananda Prabhu that through his most powerful weapon of the holy name, he will transform all of these anartas into divine assets to be utilized in the service of the Lord. Let us pray to Lord Balaram Nityananda Prabhu that by his causeless infinite mercy, just flowing through the parampara, that we can please his beloved Lord, Krishna Chaitanya, by chanting the holy names with a pure and humble heart. Thank you very much.